Hey everyone, welcome back. So today we're going to be doing a deep dive into your leadership assessment report.
Taking all those amazing insights and turning them into action.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people, these reports, they can be a bit overwhelming. Like, where do you even begin with all this information?
Yeah, it's a lot to process.
So that's where crafting goals for maximum impact comes in. That's the process we're going to be breaking down today.
Love this framework.
Yeah, it's super helpful. And it's all about turning insights into action, which is what we all want, right?
Absolutely. Action is where the magic happens.
Exactly. So this process has two main parts. Part one is all about knowing where to start.
Laying the groundwork.
Yeah, exactly. Like you wouldn't build a house without a solid foundation.
Makes sense.
So let's jump into part one, knowing where to start. And the first step is remembering your context.
Remembering your context. I like that.
Yeah, so what does that actually mean? What are we doing in this step?
Well, before you even start thinking about goals, take a moment to reflect on your current leadership challenges. Like, what are the things that you know keep you up at night? Where are you feeling stuck? What's going on in your work life, your personal life? How might all of that affect your ability to, go after certain goals? And then zoom out a little bit. What are your long-term career aspirations?
That's interesting you mentioned those long-term aspirations. Do you think it's important to connect our goals back to those, even if they feel really far off?
Oh, absolutely. When you have that bigger picture in mind, it gives your goals so much more meaning.
Right. It's like having that North Star.
Exactly. It's like you're plotting a course on a map. You need to know the destination to figure out the best route.
I love that analogy.
Okay.
Okay, so we've reflected on our context. Now let's move on to step two. Highlight key takeaways from your report. This is where we really dig into that assessment, right?
Yep, time to get those highlighters out.
Or, sticky notes, whatever works for you.
Whatever helps you capture those aha moments.
Exactly. So as you're reading through your report, jot down anything that stands out to you, anything that resonates, surprises you, even the stuff that might feel a little uncomfortable.
Especially the stuff that feels uncomfortable. Right. Those are often the areas where we have the most potential for growth.
Oh, for sure. I know when I got my assessment report, there were definitely a few moments where I was like, ouch. But you're right, those are often the golden nuggets.
Absolutely. They point to those blind spots we all have as leaders.
Okay, so we've got all these insights jotted down. And now it's time for step three. Categorize your thoughts.
Time to organize the
Yeah,
chaos.
it's like we're putting all the puzzle pieces together.
Exactly. And crafting goals for maximum impact recommends using a worksheet for this step. But basically, you're just grouping similar ideas together. Maybe you've got a bunch of notes about communication, another cluster about delegation, and another about strategic thinking.
So it's all about bringing order to the chaos.
Precisely. This step helps you see those patterns and get a clearer picture of what you might want to focus on.
Love it. Now, step four is a quick one, but it's important. Double check for completeness.
Like doing a final sweep before you leave the house.
Exactly. Did I forget anything? Is there anything else I need to consider before moving on?
It's so easy to miss something, so this step is all about making sure we've got all our ducks in a row.
Okay, we've done our due diligence. And we've got a good grasp of the areas we want to work on. Now, step five introduces a tool that I personally find incredibly helpful, the effort versus impact grid.
Such a good visual tool.
Right. So how does this work?
Well, imagine a grid. One axis is effort and the other is impact. You plot your potential actions on this grid and see where they land.
So ideally, we're looking for those actions that are high impact but low effort.
Right. You got it. We call those low-hanging fruit, and they're great for getting some quick wins and building momentum.
Right. Because who doesn't love a quick win? It's super motivating.
Exactly. Like, let's say your assessment report said you need to work on active listening. That might feel like a big, hairy goal.
It can be.
But if you break it down, you can find some low-effort, high-impact actions. Like, maybe you commit to putting your phone away during conversations or making sure you're really understanding what someone's saying before you jump in with your response.
Those are such simple changes, but I can see how they could make a big difference.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've prioritized using our effort versus impact grid, but what if we're still feeling overwhelmed with options?
Yeah, that happens to me all the time.
That's where step six comes in, narrow down options with the 5-3-1 funnel method.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this funnel method.
So you start with your top five potential actions from your effort versus impact grid, and then you get ruthless.
Ruthless, I like it.
You narrow it down to your top three, and then finally you choose your number one priority.
Wow, that's intense.
It is, but it's so helpful for making sure you're not trying to do too much at once. Remember, we're going for sustainable success here.
One step at a time.
Exactly. So that's part one in a nutshell.
We've gone from a jumbled puzzle of information to a prioritized list of actions.
And we've laid the foundation for some serious goal-crushing action.
I love it. I'm feeling motivated already. How about you?
Let's do this.
All right, we'll be right back after a quick break to dive into part two, creating that killer action plan. Stay with us.
Don't go anywhere. All right, so we've got our blueprint. Now it's time to start building. Part two is all about creating a killer action plan.
Okay, I'm ready to roll up my sleeves and get to work. Let's dive in.
So just like a house needs strong beams to support it, our action plan needs strong motivation.
Motivation, that's key for sure.
And that's where step one comes in. Personal motivation is key.
You know, it's funny because motivation, it's one of those things that's easy to talk about but can be so hard to actually, maintain, especially when we're juggling a million things and those goals start to feel like just one more thing on the to-do list.
I hear you. It's easy to lose steam. But before we even start outlining actions, let's take a moment to really check in with yourself. How motivated are you to achieve this goal? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at? And maybe even more importantly, why is this goal important to you? What are the benefits you're hoping to achieve, not just for yourself, but maybe for your team or your organization?
You know, it's funny you should ask that because when I was thinking about my top priority goal earlier, I realized it actually connected back to something I had written down during that remembering your context step in part one.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more.
Well, my long-term goal is to eventually move into a more strategic leadership role, and this particular goal is actually a stepping stone to get there. So yeah, my motivation is pretty high.
That's fantastic. I love that you've got that connection to your bigger goals.
It definitely helps.
All right, so you're fired up and ready to go. But how do we make sure you're setting yourself up for success? That's where step two comes in. Ensure your goal is within your influence and control.
Okay, that sounds important. Is this about making sure my goal is realistic?
It's more about making sure it's achievable. You see, so many goals fall apart because they rely on factors outside of our control.
I've definitely been guilty of that
And if
before.
your goal depends on someone else changing their behavior, you're setting yourself up for frustration.
So if my goal was to get my boss to finally delegate more responsibility to me,
Yeah.
that would be a problem.
Well, you can certainly try to influence your boss's behavior, but ultimately, whether or not they delegate is their decision. A better approach would be to focus on what you can control. Maybe your goal is to demonstrate your ability to handle more responsibility, so you proactively take on stretch assignments or seek out opportunities to lead small projects.
I see the difference. It's not about giving up on those bigger goals, but it's about framing them in a way that puts us in the driver's seat.
Exactly. And there's another aspect to this idea of control your environment. Does your work environment, your manager, the resources you have access to, your current schedule,
Yeah.
do they support this goal?
No, that's a good point. It's like wanting to run a marathon but having a broken leg.
Exactly. Not going to happen. Okay, so we've got our motivation in check and we've got a goal that's actually achievable. What's next?
Let's keep this train rolling.
All right. Step three is all about stating your goal positively.
Ah, yes, I've heard about this. It's about focusing on what you want to do, not what you want to avoid.
Right, you got it. It's the classic glass half full mentality. Instead of saying, my goal is to stop being late to meetings, you'd say, my goal is to be on time to meetings.
It seems like such a small shift, but I can see how framing our goal positively could make a big difference in our mindset.
Mindset is everything.
Okay.
On to step four, identify the context. Remember how we talked about pinpointing your destination on a map? This step is all about getting specific about the where, when, and with whom of your goal.
So instead of just saying, I want to be a more effective communicator, I'd need to say, I want to be a more effective communicator during team meetings with my direct reports.
Exactly. You're moving beyond that general idea to those nitty-gritty details, and it's equally important to identify where, when, and with whom you don't want to apply this new behavior.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Could you give an example?
Sure. Let's say your goal is to be more assertive in expressing your ideas. That might be a great behavior to practice in team meetings, but maybe not so much when you're having a casual conversation with a colleague over coffee. It's about being mindful of the context and choosing the right moments to practice your new skills.
Context is key. Right. On to step five. Identify evidence of achievement. I like this one because it's all about picturing ourselves crossing the finish line.
Yes.
Yeah.
What does success actually look like? What does it feel like?
Right. It's not enough to just achieve the goal.
Mm.
We need to be able to recognize that we've achieved it.
Exactly. So ask yourself, what will I see here, feel, and experience when I've successfully reached my goal? Let's go back to that delegating example. What would that look like for you?
Well, I imagine I'd feel less overwhelmed, less stressed. I'd see my team members stepping up and taking ownership of their projects. And I'd probably hear them expressing more confidence and enthusiasm.
I love that. The more vivid you can make that picture, the more motivated you'll be to achieve it. Okay, are you ready to pack our bags? Step 6 is all about identifying the resources you'll need for this journey.
Ooh, I love that analogy. Just like you wouldn't pack a swimsuit for a ski trip, you need the right resources for your specific goal.
Yeah.
So what kind of resources are we talking about here?
Well, there are 3 main types. Inner resources, physical resources, and resources you may need to acquire.
Okay, break that down for me.
So inner resources are your existing knowledge, skills, and experiences. Physical resources are things like books, tools, specific environments, or even people who can support you. And then there are resources you might need to acquire along the way. Maybe it's a new skill, a certification, a mentor, or even just dedicated time to practice.
It's like taking inventory before a big project. Do I have what I need, or do I need to make a trip to the hardware store?
Exactly. Okay, step 7 is metrics and evidence of progress. Now, this might sound similar to step 5, where we identified evidence of achievement, but it's actually about something different.
Okay, I'm curious. What's the difference?
So step 5 was about the end goal, the finish line. Step 7 is about tracking your progress along the way, like checking your map regularly to make sure you're still on course.
Ah, I see. So it's less about did I get there and more about am I heading in the right direction?
Exactly. And to effectively track your progress, you need to ask yourself a few questions. What are the signs that you're on track or that you might need to course correct? What are your milestones along the way? And how will you measure them? What methods will you use to track your progress and gather data? Maybe it's a weekly check-in with yourself, a journal where you track your wins, or even feedback from a trusted colleague.
It's like having those mile markers on a long road trip.
I like that. Okay, we're almost there. What's the final step in creating our action plan?
Drum roll, please.
Step 8 is all about building our support system. We can achieve so much more when we don't try to go it alone.
Oh, I totally agree. But sometimes it can feel a little vulnerable to ask for help, you know, especially when we're trying to improve ourselves as leaders.
I hear you. But remember, even the most successful leaders rely on support systems. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. So who are the key players in your support system? Think about potential mentors or coaches who have already achieved what you're striving for. Consider joining peer support groups or learning communities where you can connect with others on a similar journey. And don't underestimate the power of simply sharing your goals with others, even if it's just a trusted friend or colleague.
It's like having a cheering section and a team of advisors all rolled into one.
Exactly. And one last piece of the puzzle is identifying safe spaces to practice those new behaviors. You wouldn't try out a complicated new dance move for the first time on a crowded dance floor, right?
Definitely not. That sounds terrifying.
So we're looking for environments where we can experiment, make mistakes, and learn without the pressure of high stakes.
Right. Like a dress rehearsal before the big show.
Exactly. It could be with a trusted colleague, a supportive friend, or even just setting aside dedicated time for personal reflection. The key is to create an environment where you can stretch yourself and grow without fear of judgment.
I love that. This has been an incredible breakdown of creating a killer action plan. We've covered everything from motivation and control to resources and support systems. I feel like I'm ready to tackle any goal.
That's what we like to hear. Now, just remember, you don't have to do this all at once. Take it one step at a time, be kind to yourself, and celebrate those small wins along the way. Before we wrap up, let's do a quick recap of all 8 steps of creating a killer action plan.
Yes, a refresher would be great.
Okay, so first we tapped into our personal motivation. Asking yourself why this goal matters. Then we made sure our goal was within our influence and control. Next, we framed our goal positively, focusing on what we want to achieve, not what we want to avoid. Then we got super specific about the context of our goal, the where, when, and with whom. After that, we took some time to visualize success by identifying evidence of achievement. Then we packed our bags by identifying resources, both inner physical and those we might need to acquire. In step 7, we focused on metrics and evidence of progress, making sure we're on track throughout the journey. And finally, we built our support system, identifying mentors, peers, accountability partners, and safe spaces to practice.
Wow, 8 powerful steps. I feel like I have a totally different perspective on goal setting now.
That's what it's all about. Are you ready to put this action plan into action and make some real progress?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Let's do this. All right, so we've spent the last two parts unpacking that leadership assessment report and building out a killer action plan. But now what? What happens after we've got the plan all laid out?
Right. It's time to actually, put that plan into action. Make it happen.
Exactly. And I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up, myself included. We're great at the planning part. But then life gets in the way, motivation fades, and those goals just kind of fizzle out.
Yeah, I've been there. It's so easy to let those good intentions slip away.
So how do we avoid that? How do we make sure we actually follow through and achieve those goals we've set for ourselves?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to remember that this is a journey, not a destination.
Right.
Especially when we're talking about personal development and growth as leaders. It's an ongoing process.
So it's not about being perfect or sticking rigidly to the plan.
Exactly. It's about being flexible, being adaptable, and being willing to course correct along the way.
So being adaptable is key.
Absolutely. And that starts with having a really solid understanding of your motivations. Why are you doing this? What are the benefits you're hoping to achieve? Not just for yourself, but for your team, for your organization. Keeping those reasons top of mind can really help you stay motivated when things get tough.
It's like that why is our fuel.
Exactly. It gives us that energy to keep going when we hit those inevitable roadblocks.
And speaking of roadblocks, I think another helpful strategy is breaking those big, audacious goals down into smaller, more manageable steps.
Oh, for sure. It's much less intimidating that way.
Right. It's like that old saying, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
Exactly. And when we break those goals down, we create a sense of momentum as we start checking things off our list.
And those small wins can really add up.
They totally do. And it's important to celebrate those wins, too, no matter how small they might seem.
Absolutely. Every step forward is a victory.
I love that.
Okay.
So we're staying motivated. We're breaking things down. But what about those resources we identified back in part two? Are we actually using them? Do we need to acquire new resources as we go?
That's a great point. It's like checking your map and supplies regularly throughout a hike. You might realize you need a different type of gear, that you need to adjust your route.
And sometimes the best thing you can do is swallow your pride and ask for directions.
Right.
We don't have to figure everything out on our own.
Absolutely. That's where our support system comes in. Don't be afraid to reach out to your mentors, your coaches, your peer groups for guidance, encouragement, or even just a sounding board.
Having that support can make all the difference.
It really can. And of course, accountability is crucial too. Sharing your goals with others, setting regular check-ins for yourself, and finding ways to integrate your goals into your daily routine can really increase your chances of success.
It's like having a built-in cheerleading squad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And one last thing I want to mention. Setbacks are going to happen.
Right.
Right? We're all human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have days where we just don't feel like it.
It's inevitable.
It is. But the key is not to let those setbacks derail you entirely. View them as opportunities to learn, adjust your course, and keep moving forward.
So it's all about resilience.
Absolutely. You got to bounce back.
Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on. This has been an incredible deep dive into goal setting. We've covered everything from unpacking your leadership assessment report to building an action plan and now to actually putting that plan into action.
It's been a wild ride.
It has. And I hope everyone listening feels equipped and empowered to go after those goals that really matter to them.
I hope so too.
Because at the end of the day, achieving these goals, it's not just about checking boxes or climbing the career ladder. It's about unlocking your full potential as a leader and making a positive impact on the world around you.
That's what it's all about.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So that's it for today's deep dive. A huge thank you to our expert for sharing your wisdom and insights.
It's been my pleasure.
And of course, a big thank you to all of you for listening. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into the world of leadership.
Until then, keep learning, keep growing, and keep leading with purpose.